I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. That's in the Old Testament, by the way. It's about just about the fifth book from the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me in the reading of God's word. And I'm reading from the New International Version, verses 8 through 12. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. The Lord's blessings are already added to his word. May it be sanctified to our hearts. And our Father and our God, we ask now that you would still our hearts to listen in expectancy of what you would say to us today. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And please be seated. Preparing for the future. The title of the passage that I read, God's promised inheritance is experienced through obedience of his word. God's promised inheritance is experienced through obedience of his word. That East End is celebrating 130 years is nothing short of the grace of God. That this church survived through the many changes of this neighborhood. When I came to this church, the first day I was invited to speak at this church, I remember driving from Linden straight up Van Sicklin. That was about 40 something years ago. No, don't try to figure out my age. I'm not that old. And there were more burnt out buildings than whole buildings. And when I was asked if I would be the pastor, I said, oh no. No. I remember speaking that morning, and there was no room in the inn for the Lord Jesus. I think it was Christmas. It was in December. I remember distinctly speaking on no room in the inn. And after finished speaking,
Several of the folks came and said, would you be our pastor? He said, no, thank you. The deacon asked, the people asking if I ask you to be their pastor. I said, no, thank you. On my way home, I was driving with my wife, and I was sharing with her that the folks are asking if I would be their pastor. And I said to her, she said, so what did you say? I said, I tell him no. And as much of a troublemaker my wife is, she said, so why didn't you tell him you would pray about it? That woman has not stopped causing trouble in my life. The result of praying about it was 34 years. Celebrated the 90th, the 100th, the 110th, right here. Those were some of the most glorious days, fruitful days of seeing the Lord did great and marvelous things here. When I came, I remember starting preaching holiness. Preaching holiness. It wasn't received very well. The teaching of holiness and righteous living were not received very well when I came. But I did not shift my preaching to accommodate. I stood firm on the word. That, I believe, is one of the main reason why the church survived during those years and continues to survive, because truth, the truth of God's word, is still being preached. Let me give you the background of the text, the passage we have read. The Israelite is now camped at Kadesh Barnea, looking over east side of the Jordan, looking over the promised land. They were here before, almost 40 years ago. They were at the very spot 40 years ago when God said to them, you see that land over there? I have given it to you. And Moses says to them, that is the place God is giving you. He has promised it to your forefathers that he would give it to you. They said to Moses, well, why don't we send some folks to check it out? So they select a man from each tribe, send him over to the land. They spied out the land and return. And of course, they came back with some of the fruits. They said, the land is fruitful. But don't even think about it. Those folks over there, they are so big. They are giants. We look like grasshoppers in their sights. And so the folks became discouraged. And the fighting men, those from 20 years of age and older, refused to take up arms and follow through and go and take the land. They rebelled against God. And God said to them, not one of you will enter the land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until every last one of those fighting men, over 20, except Caleb and Joshua, died in the desert. And now, standing before Moses, are their children, some of the women, and their children that were on the 40 years ago. And Moses is now standing at the very place. He stood with them, their parents, and is now charging them to go and take the land that God has given to them. And so our text is part of the charge that Moses gave to now this new congregation, new audience, telling them, actually, Moses rehearsed in the first four chapters, rehearsed to them why they did not go into the land, why they were not in the land, and now charge them to do the right thing so that they may inherit the land that the Lord has given to them. East End, you are standing at a crossroad. And where you go from here depends on your willingness to obey God's word. Your willingness to follow, to trust God, and follow his leading and his guidance for your life. Let's look at the chapter, the passage. Number one, obedience to God's word is what gives strength to take possession of our inheritance. Obedience to God's word is what gives strength to take possession of our inheritance. Verse 9. Observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take the land. The King James Version. That you may be strong and go in and possess the land. Why were they not able to take the land that was given to them 40 years before? Why were they not able? Because they were not strong enough. Now, why were they not strong enough? Now, Moses rehearsed that to them in chapter 1, verse 20. You have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord your God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Verse 24. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Now, as much as Moses tried, verse 32, he challenged them. And Moses says, you did not trust the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day. Why were they not able to take the land? Why did they not have the strength to go in? And the answer is, they did not trust God or believe in his word. You got that? Why did they not? Why they were they not able to enter the land? Come on, let me hear it. And believed in his word. Thank you, young man. I didn't know we have a genius in the group. Now that they are here again, now that the nation is here again, Moses is now charging them. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today. Don't be like your parents, so that you may have the strength, the courage to go in and take the land the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their successful possession of the land would be contingent on their willingness to trust God and follow his word. Now, the average preacher at this point would move into some kind of a discussion like this. In order for you to get well and rich and powerful, you got to trust God. That's not in the text at all. That would be a lie. You know that would be a lie, right? The reason it would be a lie is because the inheritance of the Christian is different and better than the inheritance given to the Jews. Whereas Palestine was given to them, heaven is given to us. Peter, the apostle Peter, exclaimed in 1 Peter 1, 3-4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." We have an inheritance in heaven. First, in order for us to have an inheritance, in order for you and I to have this inheritance, we must first heed the word of God regarding the need for our salvation. For if anyone will enter into the spiritual inheritance that God has prepared for them that love him, such a person has to first of all come into a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone is not saved, anyone who has not entered into that personal experience with Jesus, you are not saved. And you do not have an inheritance in heaven. Oh, you say you've been a member of the church all your life. I hate to tell you, that don't mean a thing. You said you were baptized. All right, so you were a dry sinner. Now you're a wet one. You must first come into a personal experience with Jesus, if you would have an inheritance with God in heaven.
However, the inheritance we have with God in heaven is not simply positional. Not simple position. We don't have an inheritance in heaven where we sit around and we dream about heaven, how beautiful heaven will be.
Our experience, our position, inheritance must not only be positional, it must be experiential.
That is, in order to appreciate the salvation, the inheritance we have in heaven, you have to live it now. And in order to do that, there has to be obedience to the word of God. For until we begin to enter into the truth, appropriate the truth of God's word in our lives so that we begin to live right as a church. So we begin to be more understanding and kind towards each other. Until we begin to open up our hearts and our minds to each other, then we really don't have an inheritance.
For the inheritance we have is what gives us the strength, the recognition of the inheritance we have is what gives us the strength to progress. Because you see, you are looking forward to your heavenly home. But if you are simply looking forward to your heavenly home, you're going to miss it. Because you are supposed to be experiencing it right now. And how do we do that? By obeying God's word. Trusting the Lord. And obeying his word. Following his word. Because you see, the guidelines, the direction as to how we reach our heavenly home directs us how to walk today. Not many of us know the way from here to the Bronx. And if you're not going to take the train and you're going to drive, you're going to use your GPS, right? Or you're going to pull your map out to give you direction. Or you might end up someplace else. Now, in order to get to heaven, you must follow the direction here. For he who knows nothing of heaven down here will never know it in the world to come. He who experiences none of what heaven is right here. And so, when we talk about the will of God, when Pastor spoke this morning concerning having a vision, the only way we are going to really have a vision is to understand, is to meditate and appropriate the truth of God's word. Because it is the truth of God's word that is going to open up our understanding and give us insight into what God is saying to us. So without faithful obedience to God's word, you will be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, just as Israel did. You with me? Good. Number two. Obedience to God's word enables us to appreciate the difference between our spiritual inheritance and the world. Look with me at verse 10. The land you are entering to take over
is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated by foot, as in a vegetable garden. Egypt is a dry and flat place. Some places in Egypt, the rain don't even fall. It is watered by the Nile River that flows from Central Africa down to Egypt. And what farmers do is that they make trenches and canals that runs through their gardens or their plantation. And when it is dry, when the time is dry, and there is nothing, the garden is dry and needs irrigating, the workers, knee deep in mud, would trample down in the mud and use their feet to move the embanking so that the water would flow through the trenches and water the garden. When there was sufficient watering, they would come back and trudge again through the mud and use their feet to store the mud and the dirt back into the mouth of the channels so that it would not drown the plants. So Egypt is a land of works. Egypt is a land of labor and of works. On the other hand, verse 11, the land that God promised them, look at verse 11, but the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 9. The Lord your God is bringing you into a land, a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valley and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce. And you will lack nothing. And you can dig copper out of the hills. You see the difference? The land from which God says, I am taking you, I have taken you, is the land where you labor in mud. The land to which I am taking you drinks from heaven. But they could not appreciate it. For you see, as of yet, they still pine over the cucumbers and the garlics and the leeks that they ate in Egypt. Do you know why? They could not perceive the new land because they didn't believe God's word. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Good. They could not perceive the difference between where they were coming from and where they were going. The reason is because they did not trust God or believe in his word. And when you do not trust God and believe in his word, the only thing you can see is what the world has to offer. You cannot see with the spiritual eye
if you are not meditating in God's word. You cannot understand what God has for you. You cannot comprehend what God's plan is for you without sincere commitment to obey God's word and to follow it. You are never going to have the vision Pastor spoke about this morning. You're never going to know where you're going. You're going to always languish over the world, over the secular humanistic world. You're always going to be thinking about what you are missing out on. A matter of fact, you will be following after. Because you cannot perceive what God has in mind. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love them. But God has revealed it. To whom?
To us. To us. Particularly to those who spend time meditating, obeying, and following in His word.
We live in an age, in a time where you hardly hear the word preach in church anymore. We hear platitudes. And some guy takes a verse from the scriptures and he goes off into Never Never Land and never comes back, talking all kind of garbage. But it makes you feel good, doesn't it? And you listen to this motivational diatribe nonsense. And you really think he's saying something sensible that ain't gonna get you no place. You didn't hear my grammar, right? That ain't gonna get you no place. It is faithfulness to God's word. And one of the things I appreciate with Pastor Prophet is his commitment to the word. His commitment to expound the truth of God's word. Whether or not you follow it or not, it is up to you. It is up to you to appropriate God's word in your life so that you will become a living, vibrant part of what God is doing. How He is endeavoring to take this church to the next level. But you're not going to get there without a commitment to His word. Many of you who have grown up under the exposition of the word right here, you have wandered off to other things and other places where your feelings are soothed, but your conscience is left undisturbed. Because it is only the truth of God's word that stir up your pure conscience and give you a real sense of where you are and what you are all about. And without the constancy of God's truth penetrating, permeating your heart and your life, you will think that anything goes. When you hear Christians say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that, is because the conscience is half dead. He has long lost sense of the truth of God's word. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is not whether or not something is wrong with it. It is whether or not it edifies. It's not whether or not you think anything is wrong with it. Does it have any redeeming value? How does it help you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Where you're going from here as a church, your future, it all depends on your commitment to God's word. Are you able to distinguish between where you are going, what you have, and where you are going? Or are you constantly measuring things by what is outside there, as opposed to the truth of God's word? I encourage you, Pastor, continue to preach. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. For the day comes, and it is now, when there are those who will not listen to sound teaching, but instead will gather around them those who would itch their ears and make them feel good while they continue in their sins. You are here after 130 years because there are those who stand firm on the word of God. Do I have another hour? Number three. Obedience to God's word enables us to appropriate the blessings of our inheritance. Verse 12. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it. From the beginning of the year to the end. Now observe. That which God promises to us is under his constant care. Why? He's caring it, watching it for us. Because you see, we are so precious to him that whatever he promises us, he is careful to make sure that it is preserved. Preserved. So that we can enter into it and appropriate it. He wants us to experience it, not when we die and go to heaven. He wants us to know the blessings that he is pouring out on our inheritance here and now. Here and now. Because you see, we are his inheritance, according to Paul to the Ephesians. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Did you get that? Our inheritance is guaranteed. Why? Because we are his possession. And therefore, God continues to pour out his blessings on his possessions, which is our inheritance. Which means that God is constantly pouring out his blessings by and through his Holy Spirit on every child of God who is walking in obedience to his word. The reality is, there are so many Christians who are unhappy, confused, discombobulated. Do you know why? They are not trusting God's word. Oh, you say, but I read the Bible every day. I hate to tell you this. God never tells you to read his Bible. He says, read it in the church. Make sure you have public reading. You know what he tells us to do? Meditate. He says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law I'm giving to you shall not depart from you, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Now listen. Then you will be prosperous. Joshua, lead the people to take the land. But you are never going to be prosperous until you meditate in my word and is careful to follow everything in it. The reality is, until you meditate in God's word, it's not yours. Read it all you want. But if you move on and never remember it for the rest of the day, it does nothing for you. But when you meditate in God's word, it becomes part of your experience. And it becomes an internal guide that guides your direction for that day. So when trials come, you can remember Philippians 4 and verse 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and petition, make your requests known. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will I'm so glad you all know it. That's what's important. If God's word is going to prepare you for the future, it's not about your nice little devotion in the morning. It is how much of it is in you. It is how much of it, in order to appropriate the blessings of God in our lives. His word must be in our lives and in our hearts as the basic principle for living, the basic principle for guidance. And in through the experience and the meditation of God's word, we then begin to experience the constant flow, the rainfall, when trials and hardship comes. Let me give you two stories, comparison, and then close. A friend of mine, a pastor friend, was concerned about a lady, a Christian woman, who was caught up in her job in some legal situations. And it was costing her a lot of money and time. And he was sharing with me. And I said to him, I'm so glad that she's not alone, but that the Lord is with her. And the pastor friend says, if God sees, why doesn't he do something about it? And I said to the pastor friend, I said, you missed the point. You're missing the point. If this was home, it would be all right. God had to do something about it. But since this is not home, we know that we are sojourners. So God is working in her life in order to bring about his good pleasure. Now, it's obvious that friend of mine wasn't really experiencing the joy of God's work in his life, in the life of this young lady. Now, the other story is a lady, a woman who had diabetes, born diabetic all her life. She's now in her 60s, and she's experiencing all the ramifications of years of diabetes and in severe pain, having all kinds of problems. And she's hurting. She has a friend who is a quadriplegic. and in a wheelchair for many years. And now she's losing whatever feelings she has left in her extremities. And this diabetic lady was praying for her friend. And she said, "Lord, give my friend her mansion across the street from mine so we can praise you together." Whatever you may think of her theology, she was experiencing the continuous blessing or the rainfall of God's blessing for having trusted God's word. But notice what is important here. It enables her to enjoy life now. It enables her to have a perspective now. It enables her to not live in sadness and depression. Because belief and trust in God and His Word is what gives us perspective to move to the future. And our Father and our God, bless your word to the hearts of each and everyone, so that, Lord, whatever the need is in each life, your word will now speak to it. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Will you bow your heads with me just a moment, please? I don't want to leave today without asking this question. Everyone just bow your head in a prayerful moment before the Lord. Is there anyone who would be honest to say, "I know that I'm not saved. I have not trusted Jesus as my Savior, and that concerns me. I want to be saved." Would you just slip your hand up? Just raise it up and put it down. The Bible's very clear that we're all sinners. Christ died for us. If we will call on the name of the Lord, we can be saved. Perhaps you have not raised your hand, but in your heart you know that's the case. There are three pastors here today. And there are others who can help you as well. When we dismiss, will you speak to one of us and say, "I'm not saved, I want to be saved"? I have one other question. You're here as a believer in Jesus, and you're not ready for the future because it's not your practice to meditate in God's word. It's not your practice to pray privately and collectively with God's people. And it's not really your practice to evangelize. But you say, "Today, I want that to change." And you're willing to say, "Lord Jesus, here I am. I want to learn to be your disciple. I'm going to start meditating in your word." You say, "That's me. Today is a new start in my life as a Christian. A man or woman of the book, a man or woman of prayer, and a man or woman to share the gospel." Would you raise your hand? That speaks to me. And today I want a new start in my life as a believer. Just slip it up and put it back down. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the challenge of meditation, the challenge to pray, to evangelize. And Lord, the strength of East End Baptist Church in the future will be measured by how the word is followed, prayers are offered, and the gospel is shared. And we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit in each individual life And for these, Lord, who've indicated honestly, I want today to be a new beginning, I pray you'll bless them. And before the day's over, that they'll get alone with you and meditate in the Word and pray. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to all of us, that going forward, we would seek to be strong and faithful disciples, people of the book, people to pray, and people to share the gospel. Help us, Lord. We cannot do this in ourselves. We need your power, your enablement, your conviction. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.